Part 4, page 130. Then he jumped. The head was lying a little clear of the water jar, under the curve of it, and, as his teeth met, Ricky braced his back against the bulge of the red earthenware to hold down the head. This gave him just 1 second's purchase, and he made the most of it. Then he was battered to and fro as a rat is shaken by a dog. To and fro on the floor, up and down, and round in great circles. But his eyes were red, and he held up on as the body cart-whipped over the floor, upsetting the tin dipper and the soap dish and the flesh brush, and banged against the tin side of the bath. As he held, he closed his jaws tighter and tighter, for he made sure he would be banged to death, and, for the honor of his family, he preferred to be found with his teeth locked. He was dizzy, aching, and felt shaken to pieces when something went off like a thunderclap just behind him. A hot wind knocked him senseless, and red fire singed his fur. The big man had been awakened by the noise, and had fired both barrels of a shotgun into Nog just behind the hood. Rikki Tikki held on with his eyes shut, for now he was quite sure he was dead. But the head did not move. And the big man picked him up and said, "It's the mongoose again, Alice. The little chap has saved our lives now." Then Teddy's mother came in with a very white face and saw what was left of Nog, and Rikki Tikki dragged himself to Teddy's bedroom and spent half the rest of the night shaking himself tenderly to find out whether he really was broken into 40 pieces, as he fancied. When morning came, he was very stiff, but well pleased with his doings. "Now I have Nagaina to settle with, and she will be worse than 5 Nogs, and there's no knowing where the egg she spoke of will hatch. Goodness, I must go and see Darzi," he said. Without waiting for breakfast, Rikki Tikki ran to the thorn bush where Darzi was singing a song of triumph at the top of his voice. The news of Nog's death was all over the garden, for the sweeper had thrown the body on the rubbish heap. "Oh, you stupid tuft of feathers," said Rikki Tikki angrily. "Is this the time to sing?"
"Nog is dead, is dead, is dead," sang Darzi. "The valiant Rikki Tikki caught him by the head and held fast. The big man brought the bang stick, and Nog fell in 2 pieces. He will never eat my babies again."
"All that's true enough, but where's Nagaina?" said Rikki Tikki, looking carefully around him.
"Nagaina came to the bathroom slough and called for Nog," Darzi went on. "And Nog came out on the end of a stick. The sweeper picked him up on the end of a stick and threw him upon the rubbish heap. Let us sing about the great, the red-eyed Rikki Tikki,"
and Darzi filled his throat and sang.
"If I could get up to your nest, I'd roll your babies out," said Rikki Tikki. "You don't know when to do the right thing at the right time. You're safe enough in your nest there, but it's war for me down here. Stop singing a minute, Darzi."
"For the great, the beautiful Rikki Tikki's sake, I will stop," said Darzi. "What is it, O killer of the terrible Nog?"
"Where is Nagaina for the 3rd time?
"On the rubbish heap by the stables, mourning for Nog."
"Great is Rikki Tikki with the white teeth." "Bother my white teeth. Have you ever heard where she keeps her eggs?"
"In the melon bed, on the end nearest the wall, where the sun strikes nearly all day. She hid them there weeks ago."
"And you never thought it worthwhile to tell me. The end nearest the wall, you said?"
"Rikki Tikki, you are not going to eat her eggs?"
"Not eat, exactly, no.
Darzi, if you have a grain of sense, you will fly off to the stables and will pretend that your wing is broken, and let Nagaina chase you away to this bush. I must get to the melon bed, and if I went there now, she'd see me."
Darzi was a feather-brained little fellow, who could never hold more than 1 idea at a time in his head, And just because he knew that Nagaina's children were born in eggs like his own, he didn't think at first that it was fair to kill them. But his wife was a sensible bird, and she knew that cobra's eggs meant young cobras later on. So she flew off from the nest and left Darzee to keep the babies warm and continue his song about the death of Nog. Darzee was very like a man in some ways. She fluttered in front of Nagaina by the rubbish heap and cried out, "Oh, my wing is broken! The boy in the house threw a stone at me and broke it!" Then she fluttered more desperately than ever. Nagaina lifted up her head and hissed, "You warned Rikki Tikki when I would have killed him. Indeed, and truly, you've chosen a bad place to be layman." And she moved toward Darzee's wife, slipping along over the dust. "The boy broke it with a stone," shrieked Darzee's wife. "Well, it may be some consolation to you when you're dead to know that I shall settle accounts with the boy. My husband lies on the rubbish heap this morning, but before night the boy in the house will lie very still. What is the use of running away? I am sure to catch you. Little fool, look at me." Darzee's wife knew better than to do that, for a bird who looks at a snake's eyes gets so frightened that she cannot move. Darzee's wife fluttered on, piping sorrowfully and never leaving the ground, and Nagaina quickened her pace. Rikki Tikki heard them going up the path from the stables, and he raced for the end of the melon patch near the wall. There in the warm litter above the melons, very cunningly hidden, he found 25 eggs about the size of a bantam's eggs, but with whitish skins instead of shells. "I was not a day too soon," he said, for he could see the baby cobras curled up inside the skin. And he knew that the minute they were hatched, they could each kill a man or a mongoose. He bit off the tops of the eggs as fast as he could, taking care to crush the young cobras, and turned over the litter from time to time to see whether he had missed any. At last, there were only 3 eggs left, and Rikki Tikki began to chuckle to himself when he heard Darzee's wife screaming, "Rikki Tikki, I led Nagaina toward the house, and she has gone into the veranda, and, oh, come quickly, she means killing." Rikki Tikki smashed 2 eggs and tumbled backward down the melon bed with the 3rd egg in his mouth, and scuttled to the veranda as hard as he could put foot to the ground. Teddy and his mother and father were there at early breakfast, but Rikki Tikki saw that they were not eating anything. They sat stone still, and their faces were white. Nagaina was coiled up on the matting by Teddy's chair, within easy striking distance of Teddy's bare leg, and she was swaying to and fro, singing a song of triumph. "Son of the big man that killed Nog," she hissed, "stay still. I am not ready yet. Wait a little. Keep very still, all you 3. If you move, I strike. And if you do not move, I strike. Oh, foolish people who killed my Nog." Teddy's eyes were fixed on his father, and all his father could do was to whisper, "Sit still, Teddy. You mustn't move. Teddy, keep still." Then Rikki Tikki came up and cried, "Turn round, Nagaina. Turn and fight." "All in good time," said she without moving her eyes. "I will settle my account with you presently. Look at your friends, Rikki Tikki. They are still and white. They are afraid. They dare not move, and if you come a step near, I strike." "Look at your eggs," said Rikki Tikki, "in the melon bed near the wall. Go and look, Nagaina." The big snake turned half round and saw the egg on the veranda. "Ah! Give it to me," she said.